everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. I'm your host, as always, Shane Told. Great to have you with us wherever you are on this shithole planet. Oh, man. I'm sorry to call it a shithole planet, to quote one of my favorite bands, Propagandhi. However, in Ontario, Canada, we are at our worst COVID numbers everywhere. Full lockdown, and we're over a year into this thing. It is bleak. It is bleak. But that's why we have podcasts, to close our eyes. Except if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But relax and take in the soothing voices of me and this week's guest, Mr. Kyle Hollis of Picturesque, a man known for his very impressive range and apparently his cryptocurrency mining skills. We're going to get into all that and more in just a second. Now, a little bit of show news. You may notice it's Monday, April 19th. And last week, I put the podcast out on Monday as well. Could this mean a dramatic shift in the day of the week the podcast comes out? Well, it could, and I think it does. Monday is the new Wednesday, which became the new Thursday and was Tuesday for a while. Confused me too. I'm going to be putting out these episodes every Monday for the foreseeable future. Mondays are a great day for me in my life right now. You know, it changes over time. Monday, we'll be having a main episode of the podcast. Every Friday, we will have the new noise with Mike Howell. So that's nice and separated. And then, of course, our Twitch schedule will be Tuesdays. I'll be doing a new episode with a guest. And Wednesdays, Mike and I will be live. And it's just really great. I feel like it's coming at you all week long now. Thank you for all the love on Twitch. Please, if you're not following already, head over there and give me a follow, twitch.tv/ShaneTold. And yes, reminder again, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am live with a guest. We've had some big ones lately, everything from Nothing Nowhere to Jacoby from Papa Roach, Derek from Mayday Parade, Sunny from POD. You get the picture. Tomorrow, I have Sky Sweetnam of Sumo Psycho, very cool guest. If you're from Canada, you might even remember her solo pop career, which was really cool. So I'm excited to pick her brain. That will be on tomorrow. Oh, 4:20, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to support the show, we have that option, and it means a lot to me. Shout out to all my sinners worldwide, the ones that have been in the club for over 4 years, and of course, the new ones coming in all the time. You really do keep this show going and growing every single week. So thank you. To sign up, to check it out, head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And in news with my band Silverstein, this is important. We have a brand new single out now. It's called Bankrupt. You can get it wherever you listen to your music. And also, we have a very cool video. And here's the thing about Silverstein videos. Now, I've been in, I think, all of them, and I'm not a huge fan of most of our videos, but this one is actually good. And I think this one actually enhances the song experience. So check it out, whatever it is, whether you're an audio person, ripping it in the car, play it loud, or you want to watch the visual, check out the video. Bankrupt is out now, and it's pretty heavy, so check it out. Well, let's get into it with this week's guest and my conversation with Kyle Hollis of Picturesque. Welcome to Lead Singer Syndrome, the podcast.
Sweet. Thanks for having me, my dude.
Now also live on Twitch.
So I was trying to think of something fun to make my name on here instead of just Kyle, and I think you caught me like right during that. I was like really pondering what to make it to be fun. Couldn't
think of anything. You looked You looked hella stressed.
No, I was, dude. I feel like I let myself down not changing my name to something like Biggins or something.
Yeah.
Like,
well, hey,
I couldn't think of it at the time.
I'm okay with it. So, Kyle, picturesque. This is really like great to speak with you. Now, it's been a year pretty much to the day since all the shit got shut down. I think it's a pretty good place to start. You know, a lot of people have asked me how it's going for me. And like, to be honest, sure, there's a lot of transitions going on in my life because, you know, I'm used to being on the road like tons, and that's what I've been doing for so long. But like, I'm okay because, you know, my band's established. We've been doing it. We own the rights to some of our music, et cetera, et cetera. With Picturesque, like you guys, it felt like you were just hitting your stride when you got, you know, cruelly taken down and confined now to, you know, sitting in that room you're in.
Ta-da. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we had some tours lined up and, you know, things all fell through, but it is what it is. Everything seems like it's opening back up, but in the interim, you know, everybody just had to work real jobs and kind of make things change.
Yeah. Well, you're still in Kentucky. I know. I caught you mining some cryptocurrency before we started.
Damn right.
Which is hey, that's been really good over the last few months. I'm a bit of a crypto guy myself, not mining, but I own a lot. Is that what you're doing now, or what is your kind of day job? Because like, honestly, you shouldn't be having to work one with where your band is at, you know, in your career, but this is the reality. There's bands, there's like people I know that are used to selling out 2,500 cap venues that are like living with their parents and working at Home Depot because they have to.
Yeah. I've pretty much been hanging out in my closet mining crypto. But on top of that, I do work in IT. I was actually on a meeting until like this started. But I work for a local hospital. We've got like 15,000 PCs. We've got to switch out for to update to Windows 10. But pretty much just that. I've got a team under me. It's pretty fun, but still not music.
So not just a talented singer, pretty boy, talented guy. You also have some skills up in the old brain with some tech stuff.
I guess I like nerdy things.
You do. That's cool. I mean, it's kind of interesting too that you're somehow in the tech field and the medical field, which is like the two hottest things right now in the world, honestly, with COVID going on. And then, you talk about crypto mining and NFTs and all this like crazy stuff. And you're like kind of right in it besides the music stuff.
Yeah, I got really lucky with the job that I have. And whenever they actually hired me, like one of the things was, hey, whenever touring comes back, like I'm still going to be doing all this. And they're like, yeah, but we'll still have you in a management position. I'm like, let's go. I got really lucky with that. And then all the crypto stuff, it's just been, I got into it early enough that it's doing all right. So everything's paying itself off as far as the rigs. But I am the problem with the gaming community, for sure.
You're the problem. Okay.
I am the problem.
You're the problem. Kyle's the problem. I like that, man. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into this, man. And let's talk about you. I've known you for like 3 years. We met on the tour that we did. It was with the one with Tonight Alive, right?
Yeah.
And these tours, they just bleed into my brain. I like mix them up, but 3 years ago, you guys opened the tour and, you know, we got to know each other fairly well through that. But I want to go a little deeper. I want to go a little further back and talk about, you know, your upbringing in Kentucky, not exactly a hotbed for punk rock or post-hardcore or anything like that. So talk to me about your upbringing. What was it like for you, you know, growing up? Like, what was your family structure and all that like?
So none of us are actually from Kentucky. So that's a first step.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
There you go. Actually, most of us are from Northeast Arkansas, so middle of fucking nowhere.
That's even worse.
Yeah, way worse. Upbringing, of course, church stuff, the whole nine. Family's really religious. Grew up farming, sort of, but my family's actually in the medical field. But we've always had farm stuff to do. My family does horses, cattle, you name it, row crop. which if row crop is just slang for anything you plant. But then just found some music, started wanting to play it, and of course it was all the yelling and screaming stuff early on. And so after moving around a little bit, my dad wanted to go back to college. We moved to a small town called Brookland, not Brooklyn, like New York, but Brookland.
Brookland, okay.
Brookland, which is where I met two of the guys that are in the band now. Went to high school with them.
Is that in Arkansas?
Yeah, okay. It's all in Arkansas. And then after that, I moved to Kentucky, which is to play in a band that is obviously no more and sucked, but all I did in it was scream. They wouldn't let me sing, so I quit. And then okay. I moved back home, and then got all these guys back from high school, met some of the other, Zach owned a venue, which is our guitar player. And we all kind of got together, and, he got a job offer in Houston. We were all like, well, Arkansas sucks. So, there's nothing here for us. Let's move with him. So then we went to okay. Houston, sent some emails, wrote some music, and, then started recording with, Eric Ron. And after that, oh, pulling up the map here.
That's right. I got Brookland, yep. Arkansas Brookland. On the map. I'm a geography nerd. I really like this. And when True. It's a city I haven't heard of or been to, but it looks like it's not too far from Memphis.
No,
really
no,
close.
Not.
Like almost like a yeah. suburb of Memphis.
I wouldn't say suburb. It's like an hour or something away from like the outskirts. West Memphis, however, is still in Arkansas, so it's on the state line for sure.
I see you're pretty close to Nashville too. So I mean, you know, you can get there if you have to. So that's not too bad.
It's not too bad. It's just flat and there's not a lot of anything out there.
Well, I like this. I don't know if you can see it in my screen. Oh yeah, you can see it on the far left of the picture. There's
All it is a road.
It's just a road and one sign and nothing else. And then at the bottom we've got some tires.
Oh my God, love it. So that's where I grew up, entire country. But not for real, for the longest time, all that Brooklyn was like a pass through town. And then mm-hmm. it started actually growing, booming for the area because it was, one of the, higher rated schools, just in general, sports teams did well, academically, we were better than most of the towns around. So a lot of people started moving in. And then they actually had to build another road and then go around it again so that they just bypassed the whole city twice.
Right.
Which was, it's whatever. But yeah, so that's where I graduated high school. So
yeah, that's pretty crazy. But yeah, you know, it's not exactly a musical hotbed. And, you know, I want to go back again. You know, you talk about the music you got into and it being a lot of the heavy stuff, the screaming stuff. You were in a band where you only screamed, yet you come from a very religious family and all that too. So what was that like? Were your parents supportive of that stuff? What music did they listen to? Did you have to hide records from your parents? I've heard all those stories. So I just wonder what it was like for you.
Yeah. No, I had never really had issues with any of that kind of stuff. My parents are super supportive and everything. Not like with money, but they're man, do you. Whenever I okay. told my dad, hey, I don't want to go to college, I just want to play music. He's like, well, you're only young once. Let's get it. It's sweet.
That is sweet.
Yeah. But no, my dad was actually really about it. My parents, they're very loving. They're awesome, awesome parents. I've got nothing but positive things to say about them. But whenever I was getting really into all that music, it was whenever that whole Christian core thing, when Prada was coming up
and oh, yeah.
That whole era. That's whenever I got into the heavy stuff and I was like, yo, this thing called Cornerstone Festival, it's literally a Christian festival. And then he's like, yeah, we could go to that. And then one of my uncles is like, oh, they got the David Crowder band. They're like, yeah, that band that you like. So
I love when you impersonate your uncle, all of a sudden just that Southern accent comes right out of there.
Oh, bro, that's my whole family for sure.
Awesome.
But so we go up there and it's a Christian festival. They enjoy it and they see this isn't just a bunch of heathens. So,
yeah.
you know, they've never shunned it or anything. They never liked the music, but that's different.
Sure.
But yeah, my family's all like, country for the most part music, but some of that shit slaps. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh yeah, so. For sure. I mean, I just wonder like what would happen if you came home with like a Slayer record though. You know, like that's, I always wonder about that kind of thing. Like if there was, if they just were like, hands off, you do you, whatever, we trust you, you know?
I don't know about Slayer, because I mean, like all the stuff that I was into, like it, the only one that I think I sort of hid was this band called Robinson. They're literally just noise, but it's all apparently devil music, like for real. But I literally don't know a single word of their music. It just sounds like noise.
Sweet. I've never heard of that. Robinson. No, I've never heard of this.
Yeah. They don't even name their songs. They just number them.
Yeah, no, like...
That's grind, man.
I've heard of crazy, like crazy stories about like some of those bands. Like I think it was that band. I think it's called, they're called Watain. It's like spelt W-A-T-A-I-N. And a friend of mine went on tour with them, and they would stop and pick up like roadkill off the side of the road and like bring it in their van and then like bleed it and like bathe in the blood and like shit like this.
That's
like
just fucking metal.
Yeah, like fucking they were not joking, and this was like serious shit. So
they're about that life.
Yeah, so I always, whenever I hear about bands like that are actually like living that way, I'm like, whoa dude, this is insane.
have you like actually researched like into the like the background of like the Norwegian black metal and all that shit and like the scene that it came up out of?
Yeah, like
some of that stuff,
like all the crazy stuff with Mayhem and Euronymous or however,
dude.
Whatever, I never know how to say all their names, but yeah, like the album cover that's like the dude blew his head off and they made the album cover, like shit, like fucking gnarly,
dude, way too fucking gnarly for me. But yeah, sorry. I just thought about it.
I mean, if you showed up with like a Mayhem record or something like that, I don't know how your parents would feel about it. But hey, you got this far, so
fair enough.
There you go, Kyle, a little bit of a metalhead. I like that.
Whenever I was younger, for sure.
Right. Well, yeah. So you know, obviously, like a big part of that I want this conversation to be about is, you know, your vocals in your vocal range. This is the Lead Singer Syndrome podcast, and it's amazing how often we don't talk about that stuff on the show, but, you know, you have probably one of the highest ranges I've heard, you know, of any band like I've toured with and stuff like that. And, you know, when you speak, you don't sound like you have a high voice. You have a pretty normal and maybe even a little bit low talking voice. So walk me through, like, you know, you say you were screaming in bands, but you wanted to sing, and you sort of realized, like, oh, like you heard Chiodos and was like, oh, that's easy, or something like that. Like those people that sing really high. So just walk me through, like, how you realized, okay, I can sing pretty high. And did you have to work for that? Like, what's your whole thing with your voice?
Okay, so to dive back into the band that I played in Kentucky that wouldn't let me sing. So during that band, they started writing some like softer stuff to where like they wanted harmonies and all that kind of junk. They were all really into machines. That's one of the things that I was learning on. However, the whole thing was like, there's this song, I'm trying to remember which one it was, by As Cities Burn. Cause that's still like one of the, I don't care, that's one of the best bands of all time.
They're incredible.
But so like, there's a part to where he goes to, I don't even know what the note is, but like my voice shifted to something. And then I was like, whoa, I think I can do that of machines weird thing. And so I brought it to practice and they're like, no, it sounds too much like of machines. It's like, that's what you guys wanted. So I'm so confused. but then the thing is, the other guy, like, I don't want to talk shit on him, but like, he wasn't that great and he was doing all the singing. So I was like, I'm done with this. Mm-hmm. So, but as far as the high stuff, like after I screamed in a band for a long time, I kind of had to like, cool it for a little bit so that everything could recover. Because I'd been doing it for years and I was doing it wrong. And so it kind of demolished everything. But then once I figured out that I could sing with like the outer folds or whatever, it was just a game changer. But yeah, so all of that, basically the whole lightening of your voice and singing with the outermost folds of it is the majority of what I had to do. I straight forgot the question. I'm rambling at this point.
No. That is the question. Just about your voice. And yeah, you didn't go too far afield. And it does happen, and it's okay when it happens. So, you know, I sing generally at the top of my range, you know, because I feel like my voice sounds pretty good there. And in the studio, sometimes I'm pushed even a little bit higher than I really should be. And of course, once you're in the environment where you're on stage and you're playing, like, I mean, especially if you're opening a tour where you can't control how many days off, you're just at the mercy of what the headlining band wants to do. And you're playing maybe six nights a week or more, it can be really difficult to maintain your range. And is that ever a problem for you? Because I just imagine, like, when you're way up there,
it hasn't been so far.
You've been okay.
Yeah. So it's not even the range that's the issue. It's the fact that a lot of our music is written without a breath, and I don't want to skip any part. There's only like one song that we've ever tuned down, and it's literally because it's 30 seconds straight of me just like ranting essentially at the top of my range. So the highest I've ever done is D6. So I'm out of the fifth and onto the sixth, but we don't use even a C5 live or C6 live. So,
right.
But there's pretty consistent B5s, which is the one right under C, which, you know, music. So, but it's not the range that's the issue. As long as you understand what's going on, you have control. And the thing is, I've got some solid dudes that are backing me, so I don't have to move around a lot if I don't want to. And if like I'm struggling or whatever, it's not usually too awful. With the only thing I've got to worry about is my breath. Like, that's the thing I think about the whole show. And as long as I've got the breath to do something, I usually don't have an issue.
Yeah.
And another thing is because I speak with a different part of my voice than what I sing, so it's not super taxing on it. I mean, the merch table is, but singing itself isn't.
Wow, interesting. No, it's amazing we don't talk about this stuff. Like 250 episodes or whatever I've done of this show, and like we haven't really talked about, like, you know, you talk about a C6 versus a C5. Like, in fact, I don't even know where I'm at. I probably sing, maybe I'm a five, so I probably, my cutoff might be a C5 or like the highest I go. I think maybe I have a D5 on some records when I, you know, nice. I had to literally get my hand in my pants and squeeze my balls to get that one. Yeah. Sorry if I'm being graphic, but that's the truth. so that's crazy. Yeah, you're well over an octave higher. It's interesting when you talk about your voice being different from your talking voice and how that's different. And I don't know. I don't think about it too much, but
super interesting. Rock and roll to really break it down to rocket science. So I get it.
I guess not, but that's part of really, really what we're doing here. So anyway, that's cool. Another thing that you guys have put out, a new record, I guess it's not that new anymore. We're talking about almost a year old.
Yeah.
Very, very good record. Do you feel okay? Talk to me about
that.
Fine. Well, I know at the time you wrote the songs, maybe you didn't. But walk me through that record and maybe now what you've been working on since it has been kind of a year.
So that record, most of our stuff is very time and place. We like to take just like things from our lives and put it into music because we feel like there's going to be more of a connection. People will relate to it rather than trying to just write a story. Or that we're just bad storytellers. And so that's the only way we can do it. I don't know. But anyway, so, with that record, like it takes place since Back to Beautiful, which was the record before, this is like everything that happened since up to the point that we like finished writing the record. So we had, like the first record was heartbreak, whatever, you know, from previous relationship. This one's kind of the moving on thing or trying to, but, Tinder's really weird. So that was a weird thing. And half of it's just about me trying to figure out Tinder and how like people operate these days. 'Cause now I'm old as fuck. So dating when not in high school is a lot different because that was the last time I dated.
Absolutely. No, that's so. I have this in my notes here. Yeah, like, you know, I'll just read my question because why not? You were pretty open to talking about how your personal life bled into this record, a 6-year relationship ending. Now all of a sudden the dating landscape has changed. It's all about apps and swiping left or right and how much that messed with you. And it's true, man. I went through a similar thing too. Probably just before we met, actually. And yeah, it's fucking weird. It's not natural, and it's what's expected now. So yeah, man. I mean, you literally have a song called Swipe on the record. Yeah. So yeah, man, that's crazy.
I mean, bro, it's nice that it's easy to smash, but like, that's not what we're all looking for. But
wow,
that's what it is.
Hey, it's easy for you, I guess.
I don't know, man.
You got the long hair, and
I can't grow the beard though.
Just draw one on. You're fine. It's fine.
I don't know. I don't think I'm Guido enough, or what is it? Yeah, to draw one on. But
I know, man. But yeah, like. It can be, like, I mean, we can talk about Tinder stories. Like, we could probably talk about that for the rest of the podcast and everything. But probably. I remember when it first happened for me, and, you know, I went through this kind of horrible breakup, and I ended up in this single world, and I was, like, meeting people. But, you know, over time, it was like, okay, well, there's all these people I know, and I don't know if I want to date them, so how do I meet new people? And then it's, like, the only, not the only way, of course, but the way that everyone's doing it these days is like with an app. So I signed up for the one called Bumble because it seemed the less creepy because the girl has to message first or whatever. So I got that one. And then it just like it, every single day I was on that thing, I felt fucking worse.
Just yep.
In every single way. And I don't know if that was similar to your experience, but it was not good for me.
No, man, because every day that you go and like the thing is while you're swiping, you're picky as fuck. And then you go like through and you're like, why does no one love me the entire time without, you know, people matching? I mean, yeah, so it definitely makes you feel worse and also just makes you feel like a piece of shit just for judging everybody based on a photo. So I don't really like that because like I mean, in that sense, I guess I'm a little old fashioned. I want to like actually take somebody out on a date and then half of them are just like, yeah, you want to meet up? And that's the mm-hmm. gist of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
did you find it was like weird at all being that you were, you know, like a person with a verified account for lack of a better term? Because like that was always weird for sometimes. Me too.
Wait, that you were verified on Tinder?
No. I mean, like, you know.
I was about to say, that's a thing, bro.
I think it actually is a thing where just to make sure that you're not catfishing somebody. Hmm. I think that is a thing. But or at least on Bumble, I believe it is. But regardless, I just mean, like, the fact that, like, I always really didn't want to go down that route because I didn't want, like, I living in Toronto where I'm from, like, I didn't want it to be like, oh, look who's fucking trolling to get laid. Like, you know, on an app. I felt like really weird about that whole thing. And eventually I just let it go because whatever. I'm a human being. I fucking do what I want. But was that ever like a thing for you where you were like, I don't know, this is just feels weird that I have sort of a like a reputation of a like a band and I'm like behind this, like I'm the front man of this thing?
Bro, I thought that would make me pull more. But no, like for real, it crossed my mind, but it was one of those things to where like I was more worried at that point because like we don't make money being in a band. I was like, yo, this girl's going to like meet up with me and I'm going to be like, yo, I've got $20 we can put on beer, but that's it. Like we got to cut it after that. And then I'm going to be like, yo, she's going to realize I'm poor. That was my worst part. I was like, yo, I can use the band to get in, but she's going to realize I'm poor. And that's the worst of it. So yeah, I think I was more ashamed of being poor. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, nowadays you just gotta like call her up and be like, "Sorry, I can't hear you. I'm just mining some crypto behind me."
You're right.
She'll
though.
Be like, "Ooh."
Now pockets a little heavy, all because of crypto.
There you go. Hey,
that's it.
Hey, big gains over the weekend. I was afraid it was gonna fall, and it just kept going up. Ethereum, bro. Bitcoin, BNB.
I don't
they're
know if
all
you keep
hot.
Up with the- with a lot of that stuff, but we're in the third rally of five. So we've got two more of these.
Is this a thing you know?
I do nothing but research this.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
If you look at the market trend from 2017, there were five rallies, and essentially the last ones where it peaked at like 20K or something like that, and then dropped back down to 6K. I think that's right. But essentially, it all goes in cycles. So in 4 years, it's going to do all the same thing again, except it's going to be way, way, way more valuable for the people that held. So this year, they're thinking like ETH, which I don't see it happening, but Ethereum might hit like 27K per coin. I don't see that happening. It hit 2K. I think this time it's probably going to bounce to like 3,600. Maybe by the end of the cycle, it'll hit like 7. But it's... Yeah, the data's there, man. The only difference is now the American dollar is worth less because we keep printing money for stimulus stuff and all that. And then there's also the fact that now it's more widely accepted to use cryptocurrency in places like PayPal's integrating it in.
Right.
Steam has actually released some stuff where they're doing it. There's actually video games, believe it or not, that are being released on Steam that are on blockchain, which is pretty freaking sick. But anyway.
Well, so. Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest game changer for, you know, even right now, people in the chat, like Music Stutz, and I know Music Stutz, his name is Mark, and I know he's a smart guy. And he's like, anyone else feel dumb when other people start talking about cryptocurrency? But the biggest thing about that is like, once it becomes a thing, I think the other thing I read is that Square is going to start taking crypto payments.
Yep.
And that's a big thing for kind of the everyman to start understanding like, oh, I can pay with it. But the question is what's it going to be? Like, there's going to have to be the one that like wins, you know?
It doesn't at all. So Bitcoin is the first one, but the thing is there's so many things on the DeFi chain, which is decentralized finance, which is Ethereum, ADA, which is Cardano and all that, and Polkadot, sorry. But those type of things are going to build entire platforms. Bitcoin, the only thing it does is that it's a payment thing. It doesn't actually do anything. So it has value being the first of its kind. It has value with that. But these other tokens are always going to be worth something. That's like saying like, hey, I have a graphics card that's like the nicest one or whatever. But the one under it's like Fender to Squire, you've got guitars behind you. Squires are still going to be worth something. So there's always that.
Right. No. I'm not saying that they're not going to wipe, like it's going to wipe them out. But if like, you know, you hear about like something like Ripple being like, potentially maybe the one or XLM.
Yeah, XRP is falling so hard.
What's that?
XRP is falling so hard.
It is
right
falling.
Now.
I know. I had it and I managed to get out of it on a pretty good day with all these things. Like if something becomes the thing that like, I don't know, Amazon accepts, you know, let's say. Then that obviously that's going to be a pretty important piece.
Believe it or not, Amazon is building on the Ethereum blockchain now, and they're about to do Ethereum.
Yep. Well, there you go.
There you
Ethereum.
Go.
I mean, I've always believed in Ethereum. Real B Smith has a question here. While we're on the topic, Kyle, are you going to start releasing NFT music? And I'm sure you understand at least how that works.
I do.
He's smiling.
I'm not saying that I've already looked into it and contacted people, but maybe.
Hey. I mean, it's a crazy world, right? I mean, Kings of Leon just did some stuff with it. Some other artists are. It's kind of a new world with that stuff. And it would be interesting to see if somebody in, you know, the rock world, you know, not the mainstream rock world, but you know what I mean? In the, let's just say the punk world started to do it, how that would kind of go.
Honestly, I think it's going to go like great as a publicity stunt. The actual like for us as a band, I don't think it would actually do well. We're not big enough. We don't have the following because you have to remember these things are selling a limited quantity. So it's not anything that we could. It's not even about making the money on it. It's like we don't have a reach with it. And like things with Spotify, you know, streaming platforms, you have playlists and you have all that. You don't have that with NFTs yet. I don't know if that's ever going to be a thing. So for a smaller band, it's not really ideal. It was just one of those things I wanted to be a part of because it's cool. So.
Absolutely. Well, you know, getting back to music and, you know, the way that you guys do things. Now, you're on Equal Vision Records, which is a label I grew up with, and I'm 40. You know, I mean, classic records from, you know, everything from Saves the Day to Converge. put out classic albums on that label. Now, here you guys come in, obviously fresh attitude, you're super forward-thinking, super modern band. And, you know, even just going to your Spotify page and you look at your top song, Do Re Mi, that is not on any albums. Like, that is a single that was released standalone. It's been your most successful song in terms of numbers or whatever. That's a super different approach. Now, how is it working with a label like Equal Vision that has that history and obviously that fan base too, work also with your fan base and your mindset in terms of like, hey, we're living in a single-driven world these days?
Yeah. It's a little weird, to be honest, because, I mean, I feel like we don't really fit the label at this point. We, like, when we started, you know, we were a post-hardcore band. I think we're not necessarily moving away from it. But as far as like all that side, I honestly don't know. I don't handle any of the business, to be honest. I just, I show up and look pretty. So that's kind of what I do. But not,
I don't believe that.
No, it's
I
the
call,
truth.
Okay, man. Well, you got some smart, if you got people in your band smarter than you, you're going to be okay.
Well, everybody's good at one, like a different thing is what it is. So Zach, he is, he's owned his own businesses. He's done plenty of other things. Like, he is a, anyway, he's owned businesses. He's great with financing or finances and all that kind of stuff. And he's great on the side of his business, I guess. But I mean, the rest of us, we've never done all that. So he's always just handled everything on that end, and it makes it easier, believe it or not. I mean, I would believe it, but it makes it easier if you have one person that's like the contact and does all the stuff and organizes it, and he's our guy for it. And so, like, everybody has their specialty. That's part of what he does for the band. He's the guy that sorts everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't deal with that. So on the business side, that's all Sinjin and Billy and Zach. I don't really have a clue.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay. I mean, sometimes some bands operate very well like that, you know, when it's like, okay, we need the creative minds to be the creative minds and not get wrapped up in the other things and focus on that and keep your head down. And you know, that can work. And getting back to that side of things, you know, your approach to making music is different. You know, a lot of bands say that they're, you know, tearing down the boundaries between genres, you know, but you guys are doing that. You know, you can have a very modern R&B influenced, you know, verse, let's say, and then a post-hardcore kind of chorus, and then a guitar solo like that's almost like hair metal in the same song, right? Yeah. And that's like, that's pretty cool, because a lot of bands say they do stuff like that, but then sonically you're like listening, it's like, yeah, this just kind of sounds like Fall Out Boy. You guys, it's not that at all for you guys.
True. Well, thanks, man. Yeah, we really, that solo you're talking about, we actually had to really push our guitarist to do it. He didn't want to do it. And we're like, no, bro, it'll be sick. it was like one of those joke things. And then it just ended up in there. That whole song literally was written as a joke, which is the fun part.
Yeah.
It started from like a very small clip of something that I wrote. And then we built around it, like literally the thing that goes into the guitar solo. We're like, yo, pick the most ridiculous sound you can find on Splice. And that's what I picked. And then we're like, yeah, let's run with it. And then we're like, what if we put a cheesy solo over it? And so we did. And that's attention.
Absolutely. Fret Slammer 94 says, sometimes your stupidest ideas are your best ideas.
Those are the only ideas I have.
Amen to that, brother. I love it.
but no, as a whole, like, I still don't feel like we pushed it as far as I wanted. There's still like, I don't know. It was one of those timing things. Cause I feel like whenever we released it, cause we had the record for like a year, and by the time we released it, I feel like other people were already like starting to ride that vein that we were moving towards. So I feel like we missed it, but I think, moving forward, we're just going to have to push it further.
Well, no, I don't agree with you. It's the same way. Like, yes, we all wish we could have got into Bitcoin, you know, back in 2009, but hey, in 2021, it's still a good time to invest, right?
Absolutely.
It's still growing. So let's just use that analogy for your band, I guess. And obviously, cool. Like, a lot of people are still finding out about you guys. You know, it's tough. And I want to go back a little bit again to what we started this conversation with, which is just the idea of like, hey, you put out a record in April of 2020. You guys have not played a single show. that's obviously an important part of your band. I mean, I actually haven't kept my ear to the ground enough. Are you guys doing live streams?
We haven't even posted in like a year, man.
So yeah, like that's crazy. You know, like
our streaming numbers are still staying up. So I guess that's all that matters. But yeah, it's really weird. We didn't do anything with it. We just released it and said, here you go.
Yeah. Well, so. I mean, have you still been writing, working on music? I mean, I know you, I can see you have like some audio, whatever those are called.
Those guys.
Yeah. I should really know what those are called. I just call them
sound things, sound dampeners. Sound,
yeah, exactly. So like, I know you're in a place where you create and, you know, I'm just, is there going to be more music coming? Are you guys working on a single? Is this whole year of not being able to work on it in some ways kind of unmotivating?
A little bit of both, but are a little unmotivating, but at the same time, I mean, we're always writing just because you have to be if you're going to stay a band, because if you try to write it all at once, it turns out to sound the same. I don't know if you have that same experience or not.
It can happen. Yeah. Sometimes you have to kind of push against it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does happen.
So right now we're just kind of winging it. Everything's looking like it's opening back up. So, for better or worse. So hopefully we start touring again. We all get it back on the road and don't feel like we're purposeless anymore. So
it's brutal, dude. Like right now, I don't know. I miss it so much. And obviously, like, you know, there's other things going on. I have this podcast and Twitch has been great for me and everything. It seems like, you know, you are the same. Like you have a day job, you have all this stuff. And then you're also lucky enough to have a very successful music career too. So, you know, doesn't sound like you guys have been struck down like some other bands.
Oh no, I'm sure we're making like more guap than we ever have, but you know, it's not about that. Like we've all turned down like jobs that make a lot of money and we want to play music and we can't right now. So Absolutely. It still fucking sucks.
Absolutely. And I want to open up the floor to some questions here on Twitch. I know some people have them. Here's one from Fret Slammer. I like this one. Kyle, do you always carry around a gallon of water or is that just on tour? Also, why aren't you chewing gum?
I've got it right here. I thought it was inappropriate.
This is not school. I'm not going to make you put it behind your ear or anything.
It's all good. No, I smack kind of loud. But I'm always carrying around water, just not the gallon this time. But no, whenever we're playing, I'm a thirsty boy. So I gotta keep the whole gallon on me. I keep that thing on me. But yeah, also, is this not the coolest shit you've ever seen? I keep this one here too, but that's, yeah.
Oh yeah. That is cool. Would you guys just make, you guys just made gum packages for promo?
Yeah. Just because.
Hold that up again. Can I see that again?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a gum package, picturesque. Nope. Chew it like you mean it. What's it got on the back?
Nutrition facts. Fun, right?
It's
I
legit.
I haven't chewed any of it. I had to have somebody tell me what flavor it was. I was disappointed to hear it's peppermint.
That's a new one, man. I like just when you think you can't like they've everything's been made, every merch item's been made.
Yeah,
you hear about picturesque chewing gum. That's a first
there you
for
go.
Me.
Yeah. That's well, I mean, there are certain things that kind of stick with our band, no pun intended. But yeah, it's I like my gum and I like my bags and I like Supreme.
Yeah, what do you keep in the bum bags for all the Australians listening? What do you keep in there?
Gum.
Yes.
I used to keep my 3DS. Because after I got done playing, if I'm at the merch table, I want my 3DS. Sometimes my phone. Crucial would be Tide to Go pin. Love it. Gotta have it. I'm too bougie not to keep that on me.
Especially with all the like Taco Bell and like fucking burgers you're probably eating on tour. Like you can't eat a burger with mustard on it and not get mustard on your clothes. You need a Tide.
Exactly.
Pin. Exactly.
Exactly. What was the other thing? Oh, earplugs. Always. Mm. I do not go into a concert without earplugs.
Good for you. Good yeah. for you. I my ears are fucked from decades of that. So Crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's another thing we don't always talk about is water. Water consumption being pivotal to vocal success on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. People laugh at how much water I go through.
Yeah. Well, my guys like understand. And the thing is, while we're driving, I try to like not drink as much, but I'm never like the guy that makes us pull over. It's always Jordan. but like once we get to a show, they just understand it's a thing that, yo, I need that like case as soon as we get there. It's that prep. It's equally as important, if not more important, than warming up. I'd say equally, but still.
I know, it's crazy. It's amazing how important it is, especially to stay hydrated. I always feel like, and I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody told me this and it makes sense, that if you're a little bit dehydrated, your voice is your throat is the thing that goes first, because your body is going to use the water for your vital organs. So
that makes sense.
You have to have all your vital organs lubed up and ready to go, and then the last thing that your body's going to work on is your throat, because it's kind of the least important. So as a singer, you need to have extra amount so you can make sure that you're not the least bit hydrated. I mean, dehydrated at all.
True. It makes sense.
I don't know.
I'll take it to heart.
There's a question here from Snaz06. Hi, Snaz06. Any festivals that are announcing opening at the end of the summer you might be at? I'm going to add to that question and be like, do you have any shows at all planned or anything you can tell us about?
I don't know if it's been re-announced, but the Scary Kids stuff is still on.
Okay, cool.
But I think it's looking like September now, but we've redone it like 30 times now, so who knows?
Yeah.
But as far as festivals, I don't even know what's opening up. I think that's all that's on our radar right now is the Scary Kids stuff.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing, right? With Cove taking over for the man, and it's so sad with Tyson, and he was a good friend and really good guy. It's sad, but
true.
It's cool that music gets to live on. I think that's really awesome.
It is.
Yes. And here's a Jerry. Whenever someone talks about Jerry Roush, I think this is a great thing to bring up. Jerry Roush always told me to drink water until you piss clear. And he is not wrong.
Yeah. That's funny. That's really funny.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Here we go. Lexington represent, says the Jubbingles.
Sort of.
More like Arkansas represent.
Yeah, but none of us even live in Lexington anymore. So we're a fraud.
I'm going to pull it up one more time just for the memories. There we go. Brooklyn, Arkansas.
There you go, man.
If you want some old used tires, that's your number one place to go.
I haven't been actually back to Brooklyn in years. I'm curious to know where it is now, because I want them to know that they're the only thing on the map.
100%. Well, yeah. Kyle, man, thank you so much. I'm going to play music on the podcast side of things, and I do want your pick for what song you'd like me to play for the people.
Is it supposed to be ours or just random?
Oh, it's supposed to be yours. Yes.
Oh, okay. I think whatever one's streaming the most, probably.
Well, it's close between Do Re Mi and Pray.
Let's go Pray. So it's not a cover. So,
okay. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Pray it is. Pray it is. I love it. Cool, man. We're going to play that right now.
Sweet. I should pray a little more and think a little less. The devil's in my head and you won't let me rest. Every day just like the last since you up and left. I should pray a little more, I shouldn't pray for death. Get out my head, girl, I'm already over you. I'm just sitting waiting for my body to figure it out. If you need me, you have to come over, I'm down. I know in my heart you don't need me, I still hit you back as I'm dying. Without your attention, without your numbers. We'll be right back.
kiss me. So cold when you are with me. And you insist you don't understand why you keep choking on every single word you've ever said. I thought you lost, you're just gonna kill. You got so close to spilling blood all over your bed. Am I just a slave? Am I going to nice? I am not the same, I can only feel bad. Cause I'm the best and you don't exist.
So there is music from Picturesque with Trey from their last album, Do You Feel Okay, which is out now. Stream it, pick up the vinyl, do what you can to support a great band like Picturesque. Remember, tomorrow and every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm live on Twitch with a guest. You can interact with us, you can ask questions, just hang out. Always a good time, so head over. Okay, give me a follow, twitch.tv/ShaneToll. Tomorrow, I'm live with Sky Sweetnam of Sumo Psycho. And Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitch, I'll be live with Mike Howell talking about this week's new music. If you like the show, please write a review on iTunes, preferably 5 stars, and check out the All Access Club as well over at leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And don't miss the new Silverstein single. It's called Bankrupt. It is out now. Peace and love, everybody. I'll see you next time.